The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi there. Welcome once again to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. On this episode, we are concluding a short study that we've done on the phrase, the New Testament phrase, adoption as sons. What does this biblical term mean? How does history and the New Testament context inform the meaning of this term? Ken Yates, Bob Wilkin, and Steve Elkins will be here today for that discussion. We are just a little bit more than 2 months away from the Grace Evangelical Society's annual national conference. The 2023 version happens May the 22nd through the 25th at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The theme this year is Vital Free Grace Issues, and we have many great teachers and teaching sessions lined up for you, and it is a great time of fellowship around free grace truth, and we want you to consider being with us this year. Find out about registration and all of the other details at our website at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We also have many other resources there that you might want to look at. I'll tell you more about that after the discussion. Now here are Ken, Steve, and Bob.
I'm Ken Yates, and I'm here with Steve and Bob. And we've just been having a great discussion on the adoption of sons. This was a major factor in me finally getting free grace from my studies in Romans 8. But Steve, why don't you pick us up and tell us where we're going? We're also going to talk about some interesting thing about some ancient Roman emperors,
I understand. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this historical ceremony called the huiethesia is throughout the Greco-Roman world, especially in the upper classes. Something that's interesting is, unlike the movie Gladiator, where Commodus is a rascal, and he is a rascal in real life, but in the movie, he would have been an anathos. He wasn't going to get the inheritance to become the emperor. It would have gone to Maximus, the Russell Crowe character, and he would have gone through the huiethesia, we said, that formal ceremony where they get the toga infantilis is taken off, they get the toga virilis. He says, this is my son, and it would have effectively been Marcus Aurelius' son and the heir to be. But that wasn't really what happened. What really did happen is, though Commodus was a rascal, the dad still liked him, and he received his toga virilis on July 7th, 175, on the Danube, and co-ruled with Aurelius from 177 to 180, Aurelius' death. And then he ruled by himself till about 190, and he died at 31 years old, maybe because he was a rascal.
Wow. But you know what's interesting about that movie? Even in the movie, when the emperor wants the general to be his firstborn son,
right.
He still acknowledges that the rascal is still his child. Even in the movie,
yeah.
He's like, you know, son, I'll let you down and da-da-da. But he didn't disown him, you know, like, you're not my child anymore.
Right. Here's something that's interesting. Aurelius, Marcus Aurelius, was the first emperor since Vespasian, 100 years earlier, to have his own biological son succeed him.
You're saying that for that 100 years, all of the emperors would pick somebody else to become the new emperor rather than their own son?
Through the huiethesia, they adopted non-blood heir sons to be their heirs.
And that's what it was called.
Right.
Yeah.
Of the so-called five good emperors, the preceding four before Aurelius all adopted as sons via the huiethesia, non-blood sons. Only Marcus Aurelius chose his own son to be his huios, his legal heir son, the very opposite of the movie. We were talking about how illegitimate sons in Hebrews 12:8, not the best translation. It really, anathos, it's a plural nathoi there, referred to non-legal heir sons.
I like that, non-legal heir sons.
Yeah, they're still blood sons. They might still get some inheritance maybe, but they're not going to get the prototokia for sure, the firstborn. And they're not going to be really necessarily legal heirs, as a matter of fact. In Hebrews 12:8 in the King James, though, listen to what it says. But if ye be without chastisement, which we're saying training is probably the better word for paideia, whereof all are partakers, and really that should be translated, whereby all metakoi that have been produced have been made, they get made and produced through this training, then are ye bastards. and not sons. And I thought that might be interesting to our audience.
Because that implies they're not even born again.
Yeah, it could. It sure could.
Well, of course, illegitimate sons implies the same thing.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's kind of like, Bob, you bring this out often in 1 Corinthians 9. What does the King James say? Paul says,
A castaway.
I buffet my body, so I'm not a castaway. Well, that certainly conjures up like you lose your salvation or something. That's not what adokimos means. What's it mean?
Yeah, adokimos is the word dokimos, which is the word for approval or approved, with the alpha primitive, the letter A in front of it. Like the opposite of typical is atypical. The opposite of theist is atheist. So the opposite of dokimos is adokimos or adokimos. That means one who is not approved.
Exactly.
And so Paul feared that he wouldn't hear at the judgment seat of Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Right.
He didn't fear that at the judgment seat of Christ he wouldn't be there or that he would somehow, you know, not get into the kingdom. He knew he was born again. He knew he was eternally secure. But what he didn't know is whether he was going to have the adoption as the firstborn son.
Right. And on Hebrews 12:8, Hodges points out, in the Roman world, anathoi, quote, illegitimate child, as it's translated, simply had no inheritance rights. That's what the meaning is. So, you know, we're not jumping out there on our own making this up.
We were talking about Romans 8:23 mm-hmm. and the whole idea of groaning as we await the weithesia, right?
Right.
But then it says what after that?
It says, eagerly waiting for the adoption, comma, the redemption of the body.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is this word groaning, it occurs, what are the verses there in Romans 8?
Well, in Romans 8:23, it says we groan within ourselves. We ourselves groan. And it also, if I remember right, creation groans, right?
Isn't that two verses before?
Creation eagerly awaits. I think creation groans somewhere.
Let's see. Stenazo's in 22, and also it's again in 23. So
okay,
both
yeah.
verses.
Yeah. Creation groans.
So the creation groaning, that would be everything. All the animals, all the plants. Mm-hmm. The planet itself, or certainly human beings, I would even think unbelievers are groaning, even though they don't know there's a coming resurrection of the body. Many of them don't. And even if they do, they don't know that you're going to gain everlasting life now simply by faith and you'll be in his kingdom forever. But I think it's interesting, this word stenazo, if I remember right, only occurs here and in 2 Corinthians 5. And in 2 Corinthians 5, it's in verses 2 and 4, and that's where Paul says that we who are in these corrupt, decaying, dying bodies are groaning for this tent which we await, which is a permanent body, a glorified body. And so here, it seems like in verse 23, that same idea is there when he talks about the redemption of the body. I wonder if weithesia in verse 23 either is referring more generally to all believers, so that not every use of that expression refers to the special adoption as those who will be the heir, or if maybe we should understand two things here, that we are groaning for, how does he say, for we know that the whole creation groans. But not only that, we also have the first fruits of Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption of sons. And then maybe we should put the word and the redemption of the body. Right, the way it's here with the Greek, there's no chi in between.
Yeah,
right.
But
no,
there could be something here too, Bob, to stick with the way we're using it with, to see it possibly, is those who are receiving the first fruits of the Spirit, could they not be those who are being led by the Spirit, i.e. the mature sons?
Yes.
A mature son is going to be groaning for his glorified body where he won't be sinning anymore, finally.
Okay, this is a good
point.
I think
that's a great point.
So if you take it that way, then verse 23 is specifically talking about groaning not of all believers, but of the believers who are currently in fellowship with God,
king.
And if they endure, they're going to be receiving this adoption.
Yeah, it could be. We can think of a young man who's away from the Lord. He's a believer. He has eternal life, but he's living the wild life. He's the prodigal.
Right.
He's enjoying life. He's not too eager for the Lord to return.
Right.
I think it's people who are walking by the Spirit only who are eager for the Lord's return personally.
And that eagerness for the Lord's return would include the adoption of sons and the redemption of the body. And even though, in one sense, all believers are looking for the redemption of our bodies, the weathesia are especially looking for that because
Absolutely.
We're focused on that. Whereas someone in the far country, I don't agree with you, by the way. I don't think anybody that's out there in rebellion against God is truly enjoying their life, because that lifestyle leads to death, right?
And here in Romans 8, though, what we got is that when I'm walking by the Spirit and I'm seeing the fruit of the Spirit in my life and I'm suffering with Christ, verses 17 and 18, what happens is I'm groaning because I have those first fruits and I'm longing for the day when I'm no longer have this flesh. And then I won't have to struggle with sin.
Well put.
That is really good.
We sure hope you've enjoyed this discussion on the adoption of sons here in Romans and in Hebrews. The basic message is there's a difference between being a child of God and being a son of God. Not all believers are going to reign with Christ. These are the ones who are, to put it in our terminology, the mature sons of God who will rule with Christ as his partners in the world to come.
And women,
women can even
be mature sons in this sense.
Yes.
In other words, women, Steve, can have the weathesia?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It didn't happen as often historically, but it did happen.
Oh, you mean there were women had that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
It is faithful believers who are the sons of God. Look and read through Romans 8 and Hebrews 12 and see what you think of it.
Amen.
And while you do, always
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' great book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is available half price right now in the GES bookstore, faithalone.org. Go there and use the code word MISUNDERSTOOD for 50% off through March the 31st, 2023. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we are going to move back into questions and answers. Questions come in from people just like you. Next time, what is the relationship between forgiveness and justification? Please be with us again for Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.